Welcome back, everybody, to the Nerdcore Podcast, a podcast that reviews the movies and talks that nerd shit. This is episode 679, and is your review of Orson Welles' Chimes at Midnight. As always, this is the Nerd Chicago, here to host the show, along with my wonderful co-host, Brad Young Yoda.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a wonderful, wonderful Monday night. This is Monday.
Yep. As always, we are live on a Monday night over at patreon.com/thenerdcore. At the $1 tier, you get this episode live, early, and ad-free on patreon.com/thenerdcore just for $1. And you get all of those free. Let's call you get all of those before it drops on Tuesday at 12 p.m. Central Time. Well, before we can get into the review, Brad, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, bro. I'm doing all right. I didn't go to work today, so.
That's right, because of Friday, right?
Because of that Friday, so I took Monday off. So, pretty good day. I watched, finished watching this movie, and watched the rest of X-Men. So, I am caught up on that. Well, when the next one drops, I guess the last one.
Yeah, well, we're ready for Wednesday's finale, huh?
Wow.
Yep. I'm excited for that. Can't wait for X-Men 97 to come out on Wednesday, the last episode. I have just been chilling here, man. I had to go run a couple errands, and then I went with my grandma, chilled with my grandma, and chilled with my aunt.
Mm-hmm. And good day.
Yeah, just came back home, and I was like, all right, cool, let's get this going. I've watched the movie for today, and I ended up just finishing that up. I need to watch what's it called? The one for Thursday. I went to go see Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes during the weekend.
How was that?
That was good. It was really good. I really liked it. Yeah.
Is there really going to be 9 movies?
No, as in like, so the first trilogy from the reboot trilogy,
mm-hmm.
then what's it called? Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes and the next mm-hmm. two, and then another trilogy after that.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, 9 so movies.
That's how they what they meant by there's gonna be 9 movies.
Yeah, we're on number 4 right now.
Okay.
So we just need 5 more movies.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm excited, man. I'm really interested to see what they go from here and what they're gonna do with that. Because I think they have some really interesting ground to cover, and I really like the film. But yeah, other than that, man, what'd you get up to this weekend other than having to work on Friday?
So we went up to Tucson, Brenda's Mother's Day. For her mom, and then Sunday went over to my mom for Mother's Day, and yeah, so just a lot of back and forth between places, but other than that, I didn't get into much. So
a lot of Mother's Day, huh?
A lot of Mother's Day. So yeah,
it's important, man. It's important to be.
It is important, but it's also, you know, it's more stuff to try and fit into. A schedule that's already kind of packed.
I hear you, Brad. You're like, yeah, I already got so much to do, and you add in this to the plate.
Yeah, and then you know, stuff that you really need to do, you end up being too tired to do, and it's just like, yeah. I did buy a chainsaw though, so I'll let you know how that goes.
Damn. Okay. What's up with the chainsaw? What's
I got some trees that have broken in the wind or fallen over, or some that are dying that just need to be cut down. So
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say that oh god, I forgot about it, right? I told you I wanted to tell you something. Other than that, Stacy hit me up and he's like, hey man, what's it called? I don't think we're gonna get the Steelbook at Walmart. They're telling me that like we're not getting it in store. I'm like, oh crap.
So they've basically just sold out online, huh?
I think so. We'll see. He's keeping an eye out for me. So we'll see how it goes.
I did look in Walmart this weekend to see what they had, and I mean they had the first Dune. I didn't see
no. Yeah, got a really nice Steelbook for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then but, the Andor series they had.
Yeah. I really like those. I'm really happy that Disney is releasing those, the shows and stuff on physical, because it's like,
yeah,
they weren't doing it before. So here's hoping that they do Ahsoka in this next one.
Did they already do the Punisher and
no, those were Netflix
Daredevil.
No,
they haven't done that one.
No, those are Netflix Marvel.
Yeah, I just figured Disney might have taken those properties back.
No, they're on Disney Plus, but you can't get the physical copies of them. Okay. Which really sucks. I really want Daredevil's, you know, season 1 through 3.
I would like The Punisher.
And The Punisher, yeah, 1 and 2. I would like those two. But no, man, I don't think so.
I don't really need Iron Fist.
Are you sure?
I don't need Iron Fist. Are you sure? Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, sure. I'll take those.
You're like, I don't think I need.
I don't think I need Iron Fist, really.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, yeah, we're going to be talking about Chimes at Midnight today. And because this movie came out in the 60s, before 69. Brad, you ready for this?
Yeah, I am. Oh, wait. Let me get to the banner.
I got it.
Banner. You got the banner? All right. Ready. It's up.
Let's go ahead and do this thing. Today's episode of the Nerdcore is brought to you by SeatGeek. Whether you want to see your favorite band, sports team, or comedian, SeatGeek has you covered. We're proud to be partnering with SeatGeek to offer you $10 off your first order with code TheNerdCore. That's $10 off your first order at SeatGeek.com with code THENERDCORPS. So take a seat at your next live event with SeatGeek. Thank you. Now let's get back to today's video.
So let's start this off coming from Wikipedia. Chimes at Midnight. I'm not reading the Spanish version of this. Released in most of Europe as Falstaff, is a 1966 period comedy drama film written, directed, and starring Orson Welles. The film's plot centers on William Shakespeare's recurring character, Sir John Falstaff, and the father-son relationship he has with Prince Hal, who must choose between loyalty to his father, King Henry IV, and Falstaff. The English-language film was an international co-production of Spain, France, and Switzerland. Welles said that the core of the film story was the betrayal of friendship. It stars Welles as Falstaff, Keith Baxter as Prince Hal, John Gielgud as Henry IV. I hope I didn't butcher that name. Because he's like the one like principal Shakespearean actor in this. Like, and he taught everybody else how to act as in a Shakespearean film. As Henry IV, Jean Moreau as Doll Tearsheet, and Margaret Rutherford as Mistress Quickly. The script contains text from 5 of Shakespeare's plays, primarily Henry IV Part 1 and Henry IV Part 2, but also Richard II, Henry V, and The Merry Wives of Windsor. Ralph Richardson's narration is taken from the works of chronicler Ralph Hollenisht. Hollenisht. Welles had previously produced a Broadway stage adaptation of 9 Shakespeare plays called 5 Kings in 1939. In 1960, he revived this project in Ireland as Chimes at Midnight, which was his final onstage performance. Neither of these plays was successful, but Welles considered portraying Falstaff to be his life's ambition and turned the project into a film. In order to get initial financing, Welles lied to producer Emiliano Pedra about intending to make a version of Treasure Island, and keeping the film funded during its production was a constant struggle. Welles shot Chimes at Midnight throughout Spain between 1964 and 1965. It premiered at the 1966 Cannes Film Festival, winning 2 awards there. Initially dismissed by most film critics, Chimes at Midnight is now regarded as one of Welles' highest achievements, and Welles called it his best work. Welles felt a strong connection to the character of Falstaff and called him Shakespeare's greatest creation. Some film scholars and Welles collaborators have made comparisons between Falstaff and Welles, while others see a resemblance between Falstaff and Welles' father. Disputes over the ownership of Chimes at Midnight made it difficult to view the film legally until recently. It was released in the UK on DVD and Blu-ray in 2015. New restoration by Janus Films and the Criterion Collection was screened at the Film Forum in New York, January 1st through 12th, 2016. Okay. The Criterion Collection released the film on Blu-ray and DVD on August 30th, 2016. So, directed and screenplay by Orson Welles. We already got that. Cinematography, Edmund Richard. Edited by Elena Jomandro, Frederick Muller, Peter Parashels. Music by Angelo Francesco Lavanino. Running time, 119 minutes. Countries, Spain, France, and Switzerland. And the budget was only $800,000. Box office, and this is another French thing, 516,762 admissions for France. Dude, that was the previous one. Was that another Wells? Was that the previous Orson Welles we reviewed where it was the French box office?
Yes, where it was just estimate. It was just rentals. Yeah. I should have known this was on Criterion Channel. Damn it.
It was on Max.
Yeah, but the version I watched on Max was obviously like an old print that doesn't look as great as what I'm looking at here on Criterion.
Oh, is it better on Criterion? I always figured Criterion and Max were sharing the same.
No, not at all.
Okay. Well then.
Not at all. Well, yeah. Then. This has got a better look than the whatever I watched on Max.
Yeah, Max is towards the end. You could tell the it was a little grainy here and there.
There were parts where you could tell there was damage to the print.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, I probably should have done a better job at checking Criterion Channel first than checking Max. But that's on me, right? But Brad, what are your initial thoughts?
I quite like, for someone who doesn't enjoy like reading Shakespeare or listening to Shakespeare because of the language of the Old English, I don't enjoy Old English at all. This film is fascinating in a way. I love Orson Welles in this. I mean, the last film we reviewed, we definitely had an issue with Orson Welles and his accent. He was playing, you know, he had the Irish accent going on. This is the Orson Welles that I know and love, the big booming voice. This is an older Orson Welles. He's only 51 in this, and he lives until like 1980. But his big booming voice in this, his just gigantic presence throughout this film, and I think, you know, for it to be Chimes at Midnight or otherwise called Falstaff in Europe, that's kind of what you want, is this character to have this overall presence in this film and to basically be a large part of the film, which he is. And I think he carries this film very well. And I found this film very entertaining, even though I didn't quite understand all the words in the dialogue. You can follow it. Like, you can get the gist of it.
What I tell you, Brad, it's not until he gets fat and old is when he starts to sound really cool.
Yeah, like that's my 1984 Transformer right there.
Yeah. Yep. Brad, I have to tell you, I like this movie. I don't love it. I don't think it's like great like I thought The Lady from Shanghai was, or I think that Touch of Evil is. We'll get to Touch of Evil when we get there, and so I can know what I think of it now. But I like it. I think the costumes are really good. I think that, you know.
I think the armor scene was the fucking.
I think that Welles understands Shakespearean, you know, literature, and he has like a really deep fascination with it, or else he wouldn't do something that feels very Shakespearean like this.
Yeah, and like. I can see where this would, for especially an American audience, be difficult.
Yeah.
To understand, because
that's why he had to go to Europe to finance this. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. No? Well, and he was supposed to be making Treasure Island, apparently.
Yeah. Not at all what he made. Not at all. I think that the battle scene is fucking great. I think that he directs the hell out of that scene.
Do you know there was only like 180 extras in that?
Damn, that's crazy. Those big old
scenes. Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens when you just reuse your extras. And be like, yeah. Hey, we're cutting to a different angle. We can reuse each other.
And he was pulling some of those Seven Samurai freaking shots of the quick cuts. And, you know, you really get it, like you're in the middle of that battle with sword swinging.
Yeah. But they're just, I just felt kind of underwhelmed at the end. I was kind of like, oh, so that's kind of all I've got. And I feel like there's not a lot for me to like grab onto in this movie. Nothing that really like stood out to me that was like amazing, amazing. But like I said, I really like his performance in this movie. I think he's great in this movie.
I think what we have to hold on to is, you have a future king here that has to make a decision. And he's stuck in between his father, who is a hard-nosed, grant say he's the king. So yeah. he's not fun and enjoyable at all, especially on screen. And I think let me get his name. I think John Gielgud does a terrific.
Yeah.
It's terrific in that role. And then you have Prince Hal, played by Keith Baxter. And you have this childlike kind of innocence going around where he doesn't want to be king. No. That's what you get. That's what you get like in the beginning and through most of the film is he doesn't want to be king. And that's why he hangs out with Falstaff, because Falstaff, and this has been said, is kind of like, you know, they used to call it Merry Old England. Falstaff is like the past. That's the past right there. And when the king dies and Hal has to make a choice, he chooses his kingdom over his own self. So he basically sacrifices any of that past life of his of fun and enjoyment in order to go into this and rule his kingdom.
Yeah. But I get that. But I just, throughout the film, I just didn't feel much to this movie. And I didn't think it really did a lot for me in the sense of like what, you know, The Lady from Shanghai did for me, where I was like, I was just like really drawn into the story and I was amazed by what I was seeing. And I loved every, I loved a lot of aspects of it. Whereas here I was just like, okay, man, like this is really good stuff. And I'm really enjoying bits and pieces of it. But like overall as a coherent piece, I was just like, oh, I don't really know if I'm really, you know, connecting with this as much as I connected with the last one.
I think I really just connected a lot with Orson Welles' character.
Yeah, which, Falstaff. Yes, one my, you know, miles away my favorite part of this movie.
Yeah, and you're not the only one who has an issue with the ending. That's what I read, yeah. Is a lot of people have the same kind of thinking of that ending. But honestly, to me, he's making a clean break. Yeah. Prince Hal, or I guess King Hal, or King Henry V. Yeah. He's making a clean break and he has to choose, you know, I have to choose my father over you, Falstaff, and I have to go that way. And if you read into the history of it, I mean, they got tons of what they think Orson Welles was trying to say. Is Falstaff Orson Welles? Is Falstaff Orson Welles' father? And his father was kind of in the same way, an alcoholic who wasn't necessarily very present in Orson's life. Was it something to that effect? I don't know. Makes it a little more interesting knowing some of the backstories it could or could have been. To me, I really enjoyed this movie. I just thought it was a kind of fun comedy, especially the moments where you have Falstaff going around and rounding up troops, and he gets to the one guy and like he has the guy with the stutter read.
There are like a lot of like really like funny moments in this movie. Yeah. And that's why like, I'm telling you, man, he gets Shakespeare. He gets like the drama aspects and he gets the comedic aspects. And he obviously gets the tragic the aspects of Shakespeare. And he makes like a really like true to life Shakespearean adaptation that like I don't think a lot of directors have done before.
Well, and he's taken four of Shakespeare's plays and sticking them into one movie. And for it to only be a 2-hour movie and to be quite as good as it is, that's kind of amazing.
It really is. Maybe it's just the way that I've interacted with Shakespeare before. And I like the way that, you know, Kurosawa does Shakespeare and compared to like these like very.
Oh, agreed. Because it's not, there's no old English in that.
Yeah.
It's rewritten in Japanese.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You get the subtitles.
Adapting the spirit of Shakespeare and adapting, you know, the feeling of it and the overall backbone of it instead of like trying to go into like this, you know, middle-aged English type of thing that, you know, takes me out of the movie.
If we knew old English, I mean, there's words in there. I didn't know. I need a dictionary for some of those words. I'm like, I don't fucking know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah. But nonetheless, like I said, I think it's, what's it called? I think it's a pretty good movie. And I think they have like my favorite parts. In this day and age, it'd be a Shakespearean cinematic universe. Hamlet will return. Son of Caesar. Oh my gosh.
Well, but Falstaff did die off screen, so we don't really know if he's dead or not.
Yeah.
They just had a giant casket at the end there.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. But like I was saying, it's just you know, at the end of it, like I was just like, I really liked the costumes. I love Wells's performance in it. And like, overall, like, I think, like, you know, some of the scenes like really stand out to me. Mostly the battle scene I thought was expertly done. I thought it was expertly crafted. But I felt underwhelmed at the end of it. And I felt like I was like, oh, I don't really have much to grasp onto here. Like, I don't, you know, it's not the same feeling that I had once I finished, you know, The Lady of Shanghai from Shanghai. Yeah. Maybe I'm more of a fan of Wells's noirs, I guess. But we'll see. We have more to come.
I mean, I like Lady of Shanghai too. I don't know. There's something just Orson Welles' presence in this is far larger to me than it was in Lady of Shanghai. Yeah. Because the Irish accent takes me out of that movie. Whereas the old English accent, not even the accent, it's his voice.
Because he fits this role really well.
Yeah. He does.
He really does. Like, this is really like when I hear that voice, this is what I can imagine him as.
And he gets that character. And I think that, like what they said, he gets that character, and that's bar none. Like, I would want to hang out with Falstaff. I don't know if I'd want to hang out like a whole week with Falstaff. Maybe like a couple hours.
Yeah. Also, oh my God, another movie where where like the battle has to take place like in like really like nasty mud and stuff, and I was just like, oh, just like so bright, it's grimy, and just I was like, oh, this gets that like medieval, like the actual medieval feeling of it, where it's like, this is dirty, it's grimy, and like you just feel like you need to shower after watching this movie.
I want to know where they found that size armor for Falstaff, because it just looked ridiculous, like just a huge freaking suit as he's hiding in the trees.
Yeah. What a performance, man.
This is the Orson I like.
Yes.
That's all I have to say. Like, young Orson is cool and all, but the Irish accent was taking me out of that. In this film, like, that's to me, older Orson Welles with that voice is just captivating.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and give this a 7.25 out of 10, Brad. I like this movie. I don't think that it's great like I thought the last one was. And I just, that's just how I feel. Brad, what's your final verdict?
I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10. I just think he plays this role better. And I like this overall more than I did Lady of Shanghai, which I think I gave a 8.25 or 8.5.
Yeah. Man, I really wanna watch his Macbeth adaptation now. Like, if that's how he was doing Shakespeare, man, like, I wonder what his Macbeth, what's it called, adaptation look like.
See, I don't know what year that is. Is that younger Orson, or is that still older Orson?
I can tell you right now, actually. 1948.
So a little younger.
Yeah, it's a little younger.
So he was 51 in this film.
Yeah, well, this is the 60s, so yeah. He's definitely a lot younger in this one.
Yeah.
But
yeah, people don't know. He lived a long time. He was born in 1915 and died in 85.
Yeah. I believe they're doing a 4K of Macbeth, if I'm correct.
They might already have it out if it's Criterion.
No, I think it's from Kino. Kino Lorber's doing it. But I think that's what I heard. I need to check it, but yeah, man. But yeah, that's how I feel, and that's what I've got right now for you guys. We'll never know. Maybe I'll think about it differently. Oh no, it's not a 4K. It's just a Blu-ray. They're doing a Blu-ray from Kino. All right. Yeah. But I think it's good. I don't think it's great.
Raul didn't come in saying it was a shit movie.
So. No, it's not. Far from it. Far from that. Very far from that. I would not call it shit, because you can tell there's a lot of, you know, love behind this movie. There's a lot of craft. There's a lot of expertly crafted scenes in here that I can't say for movies that I've called that word before. Probably got the armor from King Arthur's tall and large warehouse. Built like a stone castle, we've got a blacksmith for you. Oh my God. It's good to have you here, Stacy.
There was a reason he couldn't get back up.
She was fucking heavy as hell.
Although when Prince Hal walked over to him thinking he was dead, just laying there, and then he saw the breath, the air, because it was so cold out, he's like, "You ass."
Oh my god. But
I don't know, this movie was fun. And I can tell Orson was just having fun with this fucking role.
Yeah.
I think he really was.
Well, we got more Orson coming down the line, guys. Next week we got another review, and then the week after that we're gonna conclude it. And of course on Patreon we have our Patreon mini. But for now, that's all we got for our Chimes at Midnight review. As always, we thank you all so much for joining us. Check out our website, thenerdcore.com. Our Twitter is at @thenerdcore_. Our Instagram and Threads is at @thenerdcore. Our TikTok is at @thenerdcore. Our Patreon is patreon.com/thenerdcore. For $1 a month, you get this episode live, early and ad-free, before anybody else gets to watch it with an ad, on Tuesdays at 12 p.m. Central Time. And, of course, our Discord link is in the description. You can talk to us and tell us if we're wrong about Chimes at Midnight. And, of course, you can also talk to us in the comments of the YouTube video. Make sure you comment something there, guys. Talk to us in the comments. We love talking to you guys, as long as you're respectful and you are nice. And of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, please make sure that you subscribe to the channel. Click the notification bell so you don't miss a single video that drops on the channel. And leave a like on the video, because all of that helps us out so much. If you're listening to this on the audio side of things, follow us on your favorite podcast platform of choice and leave a 5-star review, because all of that helps us out a lot as well. We just want to get to as much eyes and ears as we can, guys. We would love to talk with y'all. We would love to hear your thoughts. I'm really proud of how we're doing so far on these videos, guys. We've been having double digits on both, on all three reviews that we've had, the last ones since Lone Star. Lone Star, Lady of Shanghai, and what was the last one?
Them.
We all got some like double digits views, guys. So thank you guys so much. We really appreciate you guys. So keep doing that, guys. Keep showing support like that. And of course, we also really would like to thank our patrons. They make it possible. Without them, I don't think we'd do a show here, because we wouldn't be able to pay for, you know, some of the stuff we need. So we thank them so much for making this possible. And of course, we want to thank specifically our executive producer, Shane. Where can you find him, Brad?
You can follow our friend Shane at twitch.tv/XSRK or on Twitter at @thriftedil, or go buy something from the Suppy God at prisoncityvintage.com.
We got a great week left, Brad, of stuff. We have, Thursday we're going to do our Patreon. We're going to do a review of The Fifth Element. Then that'll go live on Saturday.
That's going to be a fun one, guys.
Yeah. We got some Bruce Willis, man.
Yeah, that's some Bruce Willis. Plus, it's just a fucking fun sci-fi movie.
Yeah. And then, of course, that drops on Saturday. But on Sunday, we have our X-Men 97 Season 1 review. Well, I want to say Season 1. I don't know if they're going to have more than Season 1. Who knows, but
I would imagine if they have a story behind it, they probably will, just from the hype it's been getting.
Yeah, because it's got a lot of hype, man. It's got a lot of hype.
Bruce Willis crying. Yeah, it was still kind of the diehard Bruce Willis at that time.
Also Bruce Willis before he got sick. So, you know,
That's
why I tend to take it easy now on Bruce Willis. I know that he's like obviously not in the best condition, and he's doing some roles that are a little less, you know.
Well, and you remember Cop Out, when everyone was giving him so much shit for the way was towards Kevin Smith, and then it came out that he was probably sick during that time.
Yeah.
Apologies to Bruce Willis Kevin Smith came out and apologized for that.
Yeah. So, you know, I tend to take it easy on the guy, because I know that he's going through a lot right now. And
He's still one of the biggest action stars to ever.
Fuck yeah, of course. Of course. So I can't wait for us to watch The Fifth Element and discuss him, because, he's one of the very best, man.
And it's a sci-fi.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We know how much we love our sci-fis here. So, without further ado, Brad, that's all we got for this week. And we can't wait to see you guys on Thursday on Patreon, Saturday on YouTube for the review, and then, of course, on Sunday live for the live show review of X-Men 97. I'm excited, guys. Man, this has been good. I can't wait to see what this finale's got cooking. But Brad, let's go ahead and get him out of here.
All right, our old theming host, as always, thank you to Stacy for joining us in chat today. Thank you to our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. And to end this episode, all I'll say is have a drink for Falstaff. Sir John, rest in peace. Young Yoda out.